Hey, radio listeners. Have you tried the Arbonne products yet? Arbonne offers premium quality beauty, health, and wellness products with targeted results. They employ consumer and clinical testing to reinforce their research and ensure their proprietary formulas deliver unparalleled performance. Nicole Marousse is a Cleveland representative of these all-natural and non-toxic products who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your particular skin type, along with free samples for you to try. Nothing to lose and a lot to gain. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. You might also ask her how you can earn some extra money as well. Once again, that's 440-840-2176. And tell Nicole you heard about her on WHKWRadio.com.
Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Now, you can re-listen to the show later this week on ShofarMinistries.net, and then you can take some notes, because every program that we do has good insights that you will want to remember for your knowledge enhancement, that God expects us to pursue with diligence to achieve total sanctification of spirit, soul, and even the flesh. And that is our topic for today, by the way. And how do we reach total sanctification, especially in today's fast-paced, stressful world? I'm going to begin with a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this Shabbat, thank you for our time on the air that you give us, and your word transcends culture and time and language. It speaks to our spirit, our soul, and our flesh. It's like a surgeon's scalpel. It can pierce and even divide or make a clear distinction between our soul and spirit and even our flesh. Your word is a tree of life to those that grasp it, and when we continue to study it, we will walk safely and not stumble. We invite your wonderful Holy Spirit as our special guest today to help us understand what you are saying to us. Also, please consider all the prayer requests we've had throughout the week sent in by our listeners and answer them according to your great mercies. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. I want to take a moment and say hi to Alexis, my little granddaughter, who is listening today, and I want to say I love you, Lexi. Also, a reminder that on the second and fourth Saturdays at 6:15 is Shofar Assembly, but I have to say not tonight. You know, I made the decision yesterday because of the weather and it being so cold and being in at nighttime, and a couple of people called and said, you know, we just aren't going to make it. So I decided, you know what, we just all use the night off and give us more time to just spend in our word. Right,
that's
John?
Right. That's right.
So, but anyway, I'd love to have you come out some Saturday, second or fourth, give me a call, and I'll give you some real close instructions. Also, and I want to apologize, my voice isn't the best today. I've been having this frog that just feels real warm in there, and he doesn't want to leave.
Right, We have people praying.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
You know,
sounds
God
better.
Is honoring our prayers, and your voice sounds, I'd say, about 75% better than before we prayed.
Yeah, I agree
I
with you.
I would say at least 75% better. So we give the great, we give the glory to God on that one.
Amen.
Okay. Just a reminder, our calendar webpage at shofarministries.net, we'll have these events posted. Or it's a great place for you to direct your biblical questions. You can email or call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message. And we'll be opening the phone lines, of course, later this hour with for your questions or comments about this show. Let's start with the news, Sheila. Do you have any important news that we should be aware of this week?
Well, there's so much to say, but I don't want to take a lot of Bible time away. But I do want to mention that I just recently found out that our President Obama has placed America under the authority of the International Police Organization, known as Interpol. Now, he's granted them full immunity to operate within the United States, not answering to anyone like Congress or the FBI or the Freedom of Information Act.
Now, how can he do that?
Well, he actually did an executive order that was actually previously written by Reagan, but with President Reagan, he put a lot of restrictions to their power. Well, Obama came along and he amended all the restrictions. He took out all the language that limited their reach. In short, this global law enforcement entity now has full law enforcement authority in the United States without any check on its power.
Now why did he do this, though?
Well, thanks to this diplomatic immunity, Interpol, which is what it's called, is now a perfect place for the higher-ups to hide information.
Mm-hmm.
We the people will not be able to seize any of it now. Information like anything about the New World Order, you know, our one world government information, information related to the Federal Reserve. Now, you know, that's not a government agency. It's interesting, too. I heard that Ron Paul has legislation to try to audit it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that'll go through or what that is. I just, you know, it
but
takes
it
so much time.
But it doesn't stand a very good chance, I guess, now with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Executive order. This is an executive order.
And I'm not telling this for people to make you afraid or anything. What I'm trying to show people is that we're so close to the Lord's return by all these things happening that is going to promote this one world leader, this one world government. It's just like the Bible said thousands of years ago. And if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what would.
It's either going to excite you or it's going to bother you.
Well, you know, it's got to be this way.
Yes,
and if we're that generation to see it,
right.
I totally trust in God. I mean, he is in total control. He knows exactly what's happening. And I'm just trying to point out to people that we are living in the last hour. So please tell everyone you can about Jesus.
Yes.
That's really what this is all about.
Amen for that.
And last month, talking about Bible prophecy being fulfilled, last month we saw the beginnings of the very first legitimate European Union president. His name is Herman Van Rompuy from Belgium, and in his very first speech, he said that he would listen and take into account all the diverse views of the 27-member bloc. He would iron out the kinks, and he will work with the continuing separate leader nation normally picked every 6 months. Now, you know, prior to the one president, every 6 months a new nation would have a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he would make all the important decisions. And that's the way it's always been. So this is history in the making. We have the very first president, actually, that eventually will be making a lot of decisions. But right now he's going to continue to work with the nations separately as they come up in leadership. And right now it's Spain. Again, it's historic, and it sets the stage even more for the Antichrist to appear. Because he's going to, I believe, come from this union. And rule the world someday.
Yes, and that's soon.
I know. A lot of people thought the very first president would probably be the Antichrist, but I don't think it is, because this man doesn't meet all the qualifications as far as being very charismatic and all that. In fact, if you saw him, he's a 62-year-old man that looks a little professory. Professor-ish. I don't know how to say it. But you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I don't think he is, but again, it's unprecedented for the very first time this is happening, and so I'm excited about that. The other thing I wanted to mention was that there's a new survey in Israel, and it shows that 50% of all the Israelis feel a need now for the temple to be built on the Mount.
It wasn't always like that.
No, it was always just a fringe group of extreme Orthodox Jews. Well, it's different now. People are saying, you know, it should be up there. And in fact, the Jews are saying that the proper order for this to occur will be, first of all, the Jews will get a right to pray on the Temple Mount, which right now they really don't. I mean, they could, but they don't have the
Last time that happened, it started the whole
exactly.
I can't remember his name, went up to pray there.
Sharon.
Sharon. Okay, thank you.
But then they want to erect the altar of sacrifice before they even start the building. That'll happen right away. They'll be able to do sacrifices like right away. We are so close.
Whoa.
And do you know that that has happened before? That the Jews actually put the altar up before the temple? Do you remember when that was, John?
That was, it couldn't have been last week. I was going to say David, but I think when they were coming back from being in captivity.
Yes. Yes.
And that they had to rebuild the temple.
Yes, and they were so anxious, they went ahead and did the altar first. And there was no temple, so they had the altar.
Okay.
In fact, you could read about it in Ezra 3. It kind of summarizes the whole thing. And when they did it, and they started on a Rosh Hashanah, by the way, I'll just throw that in.
Wow.
For those of you deeper study Christians out there that are listening today, you know exactly what I'm saying.
Yes.
All right. Well, and then I have a good report. Thanks be to God. You know, on Christmas Day, that Delta flight where that bomber tried to bomb everybody?
Yes.
Well, I understand just prior on the plane that there were some Christians witnessing to Ethiopians that had children, and they were teaching the children how to sing Jesus Loves Me just before this happened. I believe God intervened. Don't you?
I do, too.
Oh, you
betcha.
Absolutely.
That was a recipe for a disaster.
Could have been. Yeah. God is good. And by the way, never board a plane without serious prayer. And then read the word on the plane. Read the word of God. Maybe you'll sit next to somebody that might be looking over and seeing what you're doing and give you a chance to talk.
Will they let you bring a Bible on a plane?
Oh, yeah, they still do. Praise God.
That's good news.
Amen.
Okay. It's time to get around to this study. It is an important study, and it's a necessity if you are a Christian. If you're born again, this is a necessity. Subject is sanctification. And it's more than just a big old five-syllable word, isn't it?
What does the Bible count those syllables? Very good.
Good, I think. What does the Bible have to say about sanctification?
Well, actually, John, it does have a lot to say about sanctification. And again, unless you're really looking for it, you could easily bypass it in your normal type reading. But it's extremely important to understand, especially if you're a new Christian or perhaps a rededicated Christian. It'll kind of help you understand why you stumbled.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible calls it backsliding.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah and Hosea both say it. I want to do a quote from Hosea 11:7 because this is pretty amazing. Hosea says, and of course God is inspiring him. He says, "My people," this is God talking through Hosea, "my people are bent on backsliding from me. And although they call upward, none at all exalts." Isn't that amazing? God's saying, you know, people are just bent on backsliding. But none at all exalt. Now, the word exalt is R-U-W-M, and it means to lift up. Okay?
Okay.
Are you having a problem, Josh?
Yeah, I have a little problem with my headphones. I'm listening to another radio station on my headphones.
Well, I'm sure Nick can help us with that.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, you can take your headphones off and just listen to me. That'll work.
I think maybe that'll help.
A little technicality there. Okay, well, let's remember this.
Okay.
Jesus is the Word, and although many call out to Him, how often do we elevate or exalt the Word? You know, I hate to admit this, but I am a past backslider. I don't like to talk about it. It's not one of my best experiences. But I have to tell you that never during this time did I denounce Christ, and I did continue to pray a little, but I did not elevate or exalt the Word. And you know what? I think even prior to my backsliding, I wasn't doing that. And now it's obvious to me how I let horrible circumstances override my salvation experience, and downward I went. But I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I'd like to start at the beginning. in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Read it, John, slowly, and I hope as you're listening, you'll listen to every word.
Okay, now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, if you're able, but if not for now, later, in fact, in a few days, you can go to shofarministries.net and re-listen to the show when you are better able to have your personal study time with Jesus and have that Bible in front of you. It begins, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Okay. Man is, and these are his three parts. So there's a trinity to man also.
Well, here it is, yeah.
He's spirit,
mm-hmm.
He's soul, and he's body. Now, that is the progression. God is a God of order. And it's same thing with Ephesians 6 when you talk about the armor. Each piece is in order, and at some point we'll talk about that too, but notice in the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, "May the God of peace sanctify you completely."
That's an important word.
That is an important word. And what he is saying, and which I'm going to prove to you in a few minutes here, is that it's not just enough to get your spirit sanctified, okay,
mm-hmm.
which happens when you get saved, but you should be sanctified completely, not only your spirit, but your soul and your flesh.
Yeah.
Okay? So upon salvation, our spirit man is regenerated and now justified.
Okay, just as if I've never sinned.
That's what it means.
And yeah. Thus justified, bathed in the blood of the Lamb,
mm-hmm.
and we are now looking at spending eternity with Jesus.
Right,
and
you are saved.
You're saved.
Once you're saved, you're saved.
You weren't a Bible scholar. You probably knew little about the Bible.
Right.
Maybe
you
had negative.
Get hit by a car tomorrow, you will go to heaven.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
and that's great. God
mm-hmm.
is good. However, to be really used of the Lord, total sanctification is a must. And that's what Thessalonians says that you just read.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of one's true salvation, and again, it has to be a true salvation. It can't just be in the head.
Right.
We have a lot of head knowledge Christians that are claiming to be Christians who really don't even have a heart conversion. Okay?
Right.
We're not talking about them. We're talking about a true conversion. At that time, as a gift, we are given a measured amount of faith. Romans 12:3 tells us that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a measured amount. It's a small amount. And in fact, 3358 for measure is metron, and it means limited.
A metered amount.
Yes.
Yes.
We believe the word, so faith comes from the word, and so faith is that small amount that we receive when we get saved. Okay. However, now, it is up to us, and it is our choice to increase that faith.
Hmm.
And the only way to do that is to mindfully choose to put more Jesus in.
And that's a choice. Now, how do we put more Jesus in?
Well, I know you already know that.
I know.
There's only one way.
Okay.
Only one way. Is it prayer?
Yes, it's prostrating yourself before the Lord in prayer all the time.
No, it's not.
It's not? Well, I've got a sneaky suspicion it's going to be through his word.
It's the only way.
It's the only
way. The only way. Faith comes from
hearing.
Hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17 says.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get more faith? We get it from the word. And that word hearing is actually comes from the root word akouo, which means to understand.
Okay.
So it means give a ear to, really hear it and understand what the word is saying. Let it get into your spirit.
Yes.
And when it does, it will continue to grow. It will actually grow through your spirit into your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, into your flesh. Now, does that happen overnight?
It can't happen overnight.
No, it really is a process.
It is a process.
Yeah, even Paul had to go and study from Jesus himself in Arabia for 3 years. Okay? Faith is a process, and it's also the word sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
It begins small, and it continues to move out through your soul and into your flesh. So when Paul said in Philippians 2:12,
mm-hmm.
to work out your own salvation, what do you think he was saying, John?
He was saying you need to work out. He was saying you need to go to the gym.
John, you keep saying funny things.
But so you're saying he didn't mean that.
No.
No. Well, that's when I hear the word, to be honest, when I hear work
no, I
out, that's what I think of. I think we need to work out our salvation. So that means, what, you go try it out? You go, hey, I'm going to try witnessing to this person?
Well, and if you're a new believer, you could say, well, like, it works.
Okay, now here's where the...
And it's not.
It's not. Here's where the understanding part comes in. We not only need to hear, we need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to work out? I'm going to ask you. I'm putting the question back to you.
The word is number 2716 in the Strong's, and it means to make every effort. It is your duty to choose to grow. And how do you grow? You've got to be in the Word so that your spirit man will permeate through the other two parts of your Trinity, which is your soul is next,
mm-hmm.
but the flesh is last.
Okay, so
unfortunately, the flesh is last.
Your soul being your mind, your will, and emotions, what mm-hmm. you do, okay, mm-hmm. and then to your flesh, and there's that order you talk about. So when it says work out, we're talking about a direction. Where does your salvation go? It starts in the middle, in your spirit.
In your spirit.
In your spirit, in the very heart, center of your being.
Mm-hmm.
And now it needs a direction.
Right.
It needs to work out.
Yes.
And where is it going? Well, first step is your soul.
Yes,
right?
Which is?
Your mind and your body.
Will and emotions.
Mind, will, and emotions.
It's what you desire to do.
Okay, it's what you desire.
But if your flesh isn't crucified or sanctified, it won't be able to conquer that flesh that says, oh, come on, let's go to the movies instead.
Yeah.
Let's do this, let's do that. When in fact, your spirit says, be in the Word so that you can crucify the flesh.
There you go. So now the direction continues from your soul to your flesh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's what that becomes actually your actions, doesn't it?
Yes. It's what we ultimately do.
It's what we ultimately
okay.
do.
Our soul is what we desire,
mm-hmm.
and then what we end up doing. And you know, we have scripture here that we're going to get to in a minute where the flesh wars against the spirit. But your soul is like standing back saying, okay, where do I go? Where do I go? Do I go towards the flesh or do I go towards the spirit?
Right.
And
right.
it ultimately will go whoever is fed the most. So if you're feeding your flesh more, it's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're feeding your spirit man more, it's going to win. And then you're going to be able to be victorious over your temptations, not continuing in that sin that you just can't seem to get over.
Well, this is a beautiful picture here, and sorry to say, it destroys that little picture some of us have of the little good angel on one shoulder and the bad angel on the other shoulder. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We are actually in control of this.
We are
the ones that choose
yes.
which direction our salvation is going to work. Is it just going to stay there in our spirit?
Right.
Are we going to get it moving out, working it out? So.
Remember, we are not coerced into sin. We choose to sin by not getting sanctified because our flesh is weak.
Yeah, in 1 John 2:1, he says, I write to you that you may not sin.
Right.
That's
he
the reason I'm writing this
to
you, so you don't have to sin.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. When we come back, we're going to look at the tabernacle typology. And it's a similar situation. Have you ever heard of an out-of-court Christian that never gets into the holy place?
Mm-hmm.
It's the process of sanctification. It's really what it is. So we're going to continue that when we come back.
And it's really cool. The lines will be open when we come back. If you have a question on end times or what we're talking about right now, the phone numbers are 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. Or simply call 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, whatever that means, and all gifts are tax deductible. And
that's what it means.
That's what it means. And donations are really needed to stay on the air. And as our gift to you, we will send you a nice handmade cross made by Mike for your wall or yard with a donation of $25 or more. Send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, and that zip code is 44021. Just remember, Box 513, zip code 44021. Or you may give through shofarministries.net and use the PayPal function there. And perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio, and you can reach Sheila for details about that by calling 440-834-9006. Once again, now, the lines are open for your questions. The numbers are 216 888-601-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Okay, stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break. And we got a great song by Johnny Cash today.
Wow, great.
Yeah, one of my favorite singers and performers.
Hey, stay with us.
Stay with us.
Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelak of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
The Cuyahoga County Department of Children and Family Services believe that every child needs a family, especially teenagers. Yet there are hundreds that don't have one. Listen as this young lady shares her story.
I'm 23 years old and a college graduate. After I aged out of foster care, I thought, wow, I'm 18, I'm grown, I've been through a lot, and now I can finally make decisions for myself. What I didn't know is that I would no longer have anyone to depend on. I then went to college and lived on my own. However, shortly after, I then became homeless. If I'd known that I would have been homeless my first year of college, sleeping in my car with nowhere to go during holiday breaks, I would have been more acceptable of adoption.
Please contact the Cuyahoga County Department of Children and Family Services for more information on becoming a foster or an adoptive parent at 216-881-5775. That number again is 216-881-5775. What every child needs, family.
A new novel from best-selling authors Jeanette Oak and Davis Bunn, The Hidden Flame. After the death of Jesus, his followers are growing. As Abigail joins the early church, she begins to see hope again. But when two men vie for her heart, can her newfound faith survive a heartbreak beyond comprehension? The Hidden Flame, Book 2 in the Acts of Faith series, by Jeanette Oak and Davis Bunn. Available wherever books are sold. From Bethany House, a leader in Christian fiction.
What if the biggest mega church in the nation's largest megalopolis needs a graphic designer for a little job? What if the tiniest little church in the tiniest little corner of the tiniest little state needs a really big pastor? What if any church anywhere in between needs anybody for any job? Easy. Churchstaffing.com. They connect any church with anybody who wants to work in the church. From pastors to accountants, custodial staff to worship leaders, whatever the gig. Visit churchstaffing.com.
So it's the new year. Need a makeover? Could you use a new do? Or gals and you guys, is that hair getting a little thin? Well, you need to see Michael at Hot Heads Cool Threads Beauty Salon, located in Orange Village at Brainerd and Miles Road. Tell me everyone doesn't at least need a haircut at some time. Hot Heads and Cool Threads are a full-service salon specializing in hair replacement with an added touch of unique threads. So give them a call at 440-248-1888. That's 248-1888. And tell Michael Sheila says shalom.
Someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there. Feeling unknown and you're all alone, flesh and bone, by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. take second best, put me to the test. Things on your chest, you need to confess. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone to care. Feeling unknown and you're all alone. Flesh and bone by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was sung by the late Johnny Cash, a song originally done by Depeche Mode, and from, I believe, Johnny Cash's last album, or last CD, where he... He knew he was close to death, and he chose songs that felt really said something.
Yeah,
and
that,
that song really says something. That's from the same CD, that same tune, When the Man Comes Around, is on that CD.
Yes.
And he felt that we needed to know that, that we need to know that we do need a personal Savior. We need a personal
And
Jesus.
I'm so glad I found that out.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I want to mention and thank our newest sponsor to the show for our Ministries Hour, the Alexandria's Training School for Child Care. If you are looking for another career, a different profession, perhaps one more rewarding, maybe the Lord's leading you into a new field in a happy environment with people who really appreciate and are thankful for what you do. Well, if you are pleasant and like children and newborns, Alexandria's Training School is looking for godly people of all ages to be certified in this in-demand child care industry. Just call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. Or if you need a nanny for your precious ones, just call the same number, 440-781-7531. And thank you for advertising with Children's Ministry.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Appreciate that a lot. All right, we do have a caller. So before we get into the typology of the tabernacle, we're going to say hi to Terry. He's calling from Akron.
Okay, great.
You're on, Terry.
Hello. I didn't catch the beginning of the program. I just wonder what your folks' names are.
Oh, okay. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford, and this is John Bartlett, my co-host.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, is one of the telephone numbers that you gave out for your church?
Yes. Yes. The number for Shofar Assembly for coming out to, actually it's canceled tonight, sorry to say, but it's 440-834-9006.
Okay. That would be like for the church office?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Your name is Reverend Crawford?
Yes.
Okay. The question I wanted to ask you is, because I just kind of tuned in a little bit late, and you were saying something about Interpol.
Yes.
Something that was switched over to Interpol that a person can't find out any information, and I didn't really catch all that, and I just wondered if you could just maybe go over that just briefly for a moment.
Yeah, that was an executive order, and I guess what they did is it's going to be harder for us to access information like from the Freedom of Information Act, like information about, say, the New World Order or One World Government information that would be related to the Federal Reserve, since that's not a government agency. Actually, Congressman Ron Paul wants to introduce legislation to audit the Federal Reserve, and with this executive order in place...
It makes things more secretive. They have more ability to keep things secret.
And it won't be a decision based on what our Congress votes on. It'll be an executive order, and it'll be, you know, what Interpol wants kept.
Right, and Interpol's been around for a while in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. They're not such a bad operation. They catch a lot of
do they? I don't know much about
worldwide.
It.
Yeah, they're like a worldwide crook-catching agency.
Oh.
And they do that pretty well.
Yeah. All I know is that we, Reagan had it right, you know, make restrictions, and President Obama took them all away. So they are not restricted. They can do just about anything they want.
That you're in reference to Interpol?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about it?
No, well, just very little.
Yeah, me too. I have to be so careful. I can't be studying all these things because it'll take it away from my Bible time.
Right.
So I can only give little highlights. And the only reason I really do that is so that people understand how close we are to his return.
I see.
And that just shows you that we're getting closer to this globalism, this one world government and religion, actually.
And, you know, setting up the stage for a one-world leader.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
So that what you were saying, like if a person wanted to be on the Internet or anything to find out information, it's just going to be kind of blocked.
It could be.
Could be.
Yes.
Yeah. It could be.
All right, well, thank you for taking the time, and I don't want to take any more of your time so you can get on with your program.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for calling, and if you stay on the line, Nick will be glad to take your address, and you can get on our newsletter list. I have a monthly newsletter that I write. If you're interested, just give Nick your information, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay,
thanks,
Terry.
Thanks for calling, Terry. God
bye
bless
bye.
You.
You too. Bye-bye.
We have another call. Her name is Helen, and she's from Garfield Heights.
Garfield Heights. We didn't ask Terry where he was from.
Yes, Akron.
Akron.
I did say that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Helen, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. A very good afternoon to you. My dear sister and brother in Christ.
Yes, I've heard you before.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
I you. Called once before. By the way, those are wonderful CDs that I received. I really learn a lot from you and your ministry.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you very much. And are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, it seemed like there was an empty space there.
Oh.
Okay, a quiet space, in other words. I have two questions. I'm so very much interested in things about end times, but I always want to make sure I understand. Now, you said something about they are getting ready to build a temple, therefore they have just put up an altar already?
No. Actually, they have everything ready to build a temple, and it won't take very long, matter of months. But they... plan on actually erecting an altar.
Well, they didn't do it yet.
No. They want to as soon as they get permission. That is the first thing that's going to happen even before the temple is built.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't understand. And I like to pass the information I get about end times to some of my relatives who are interested.
Well, good for you.
That's what this is all about.
And
washing each other's feet.
Oh, yes. Christ-like.
Amen.
Yeah.
There you go. And I have one more question. I'm not sure the name of that, you know, the police, the international police.
Oh, that's Interpol.
Interpol, is that called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been around for years.
Yeah, you can look it up.
What does it stand for again? International.
International police, I guess.
Wait a minute, I'll tell you real quick here. It stands for... International. Oh, I don't have it written down. Oh,
no.
Yes, I do. International Police Organization. That's all I have. Okay, you were right.
International Police Organization.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand. I learned so much from your ministry, and I really enjoy it. And when you were gone, you know, we had to have a break because of the sports.
Yeah.
The sports, you know. That force is making me nuts. In other words, I want to hear the word of God. I don't care about all that.
Well, what you're doing is what we talked about earlier in the program. By making a decision like that, you're elevating God's word.
That's right.
Oh, yes. And I like
to point,
pass it along. But
yes.
Before I pass it, I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. Well, thank you so very much for all your information. God bless both of you.
Thank you.
Everybody listening. And all of you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you,
and
Helen.
In the love of God.
Okay. Bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Okay,
we
love you, Helen.
Well.
God bless
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's use
okay.
the few minutes we have left to look at the tabernacle typology.
Yeah, Helen led us into the tabernacle.
I know. Okay, now you might have to later on go get a picture out of your Bible or whatever. That's too loud for
you. It's either feast or famine with my headphones. It's like that's better.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
You might have to get a picture of the tabernacle. Almost every Bible has them. You go on the internet and get a picture. But what you want to look at is the fact that there was only one door entering into the outer court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, spiritually speaking, typologically speaking, when you accept Christ as the only door to the Father, you've entered into that one gate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You've entered into the outer court. Now, you've been bathed in the blood of the Lamb by accepting that sacrifice that he has done, because the next thing after you go through the gate is you have to sacrifice on the altar.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So by Jesus doing that sacrifice, fulfilling that, we are spiritually bathed in the blood of the Lamb. Okay? So we've entered the gate, and we've been bathed in the blood of the Lamb on the sacrificing altar.
Okay,
okay?
So the altar of sacrifice, which would be, by the way, the first thing you'd see.
Very first.
When you come through that
right.
door.
And again, God mm-hmm. is a God of order, so we want to keep this in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the big part, okay, the next thing I'm going to say. That is as far as you can go until you wash in the water, which is this huge basin, which was next so that they could wash in.
That's the next thing you see when you pass the altar.
They wash their hands and their feet.
There is the laver, that big
right.
container or sea, what was called in the temple, of water, where
That's
you
right.
had to wash your hands and your feet.
That's right. But what I want to point out to the people mm-hmm. is that they were not allowed to go into the place to pray.
The holy place.
Until they washed in the water first.
That's right.
And you see, that's the picture. Because we've got many Christians just want to pray, and they bypass they just want to pray, and they bypass going into the Word first.
Right. Now, let's see. In John, that's me, John.
And that's out of order.
Okay.
Okay, but yeah, would you read
yes,
Ephesians 5:26?
26. I was going to say John 5:26. That's wrong. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her, who's her? The church,
the bride of Christ,
with the washing of water by the
word. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So how do we get sanctified?
By
he might sanctify and cleanse her by the word.
By the word.
Okay.
Now, can you give us another example like this?
Yes, I can. Actually, in John 13, right after the Passover Seder meal, which is a picture of the sacrifice that he was about to do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples had to be washed. Or Jesus said, you can have no part of me.
Right.
So do you get the scenario? They'd gone through the gates, essentially, by accepting Christ who he was. They just had the sacrificing meal.
Right.
Now they had to wash.
They had to wash. But why?
Before they could further on their discipleship. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Jesus said that basically they would be useless if they didn't wash, and they would be remaining in the outer court. Okay? Now, they caught on pretty quick because Peter realized what was going on, and he asked Jesus, he said, well, wash my hands too. And we see that in verse 10. Jesus says, once they were bathed. Now, he changes the word to bathed.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's talking about his blood.
Mm-hmm.
He says, once they were bathed, that they only needed to wash.
I see.
And that's important because once we are bathed in his blood, we don't have to be bathed in his blood anymore. one sacrifice is fitting.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have to continue to wash in the water of his word. Do you see the beautiful picture there? I always thought it just meant that, well, we had to be good servants and wash each other's feet.
Yeah, well, that's like a...
I mean, that's nice,
usually
but I'm so grateful that that's not what it really means, because I don't like people washing my feet. They're ugly.
No. Well, you know, it's winter time, so I can't really verify that. But, that is, of course, you know, the Seder meal, and if we've participated in them. We've even had Seder meals at Shofar Assembly. And, you know, that's a beautiful picture of the, you know, the shank bone, the Lamb of God. And you see this whole picture. And of course, one of the first, you start out a Seder meal with the washing of your hands.
Of your hands.
So, of course, Jesus.
Typifying the sacrifice.
Yes. So, of course, Jesus would not wash their hands because that's already been done.
Right.
Yes.
Now, he even says in verse 14 that we should wash each other's feet. And again, all this really is saying is to share scripture truth with one another.
Now, if and there's churches out there where they have an actual foot washing ceremony.
Yes.
That literally, and there's a lot of different denominations that do
literally.
Yeah, and
that's fine.
Things. I mean,
it's fine. Symbolizing what he did.
And I don't know whether or not they know this picture.
I don't know. Maybe they do. I hope that if not, somebody will tell them.
Yeah.
And so that they can bring that in.
Yes. And it's a great picture, washing the water back in, I don't know. Tell me, maybe I don't have enough time to read this, but this was the instructions to the Levites, to Aaron's sons.
You don't have to read it. Just tell it.
Just tell them. They were instructed to, once they did the sacrifice, before they entered the holy place, to wash both their hands and feet. You could check that out. It's right in the beginning of chapter. It's in the middle of chapter 30 of Leviticus. You could start in verse 11 there and read that for yourself. But that was the instructions, and there was a picture there.
Okay, well, let's finish that picture with what Jesus did.
Okay.
Because by washing their feet, now then they were ready to get into the holy place to really get into their ministry as soon as Christ would die.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see is right after he did this, he goes then to the Father and prays in John chapter 17. So he's showing this progression through the tabernacle, past the labor, now he's into the holy place where he prays. That's where everybody prays. The priests would pray. They would burn the incense, the picture of prayer, okay? And then at the end of the Gospel of John, he ascends to the Father into the holy place. So here's what I want to say in other words. The first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John, we have our Lord's birth and ministry on earth, to which all the Jews are admitted. Typologically, that would be in the first part of the tabernacle or the outer court. He is called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, fulfilling the sacrifice on the brazen altar in the outer court. But then in chapter 13, we see Jesus getting his disciples ready for ministry by the example of the washing of the feet or the labor, which is teaching them his word, and that we have to be in the word in order to be used in ministry. It's a major, major thing here. He reveals the Holy Spirit to them. And then they soon are ready to enter the next phase of discipleship after his death. Again, we see in chapter 17 that he enters to the holy place and gives that wonderful prayer. And after his death, he enters into the real Holy of Holies when he ascends into the heaven and sits next to the Father. The Gospel of John is
awesome. Never seen that book quite that way until now. Now, aren't you going to start a new study?
Yes, I am. I'm actually going to investigate and do some research more on the Greek translation of the Gospel of John. We're going to see some very deep meanings. That study begins Monday in Solon, if you're out there.
This Monday?
Yeah, 2:30.
Okay.
If you're out there, you have the afternoons free or available, give me a call. I'll give you directions. It's going to be a meaty study, okay?
Wow.
Okay. We've got only about 4 minutes left. Can you quickly, John, read some of these verses, or you read one and I'll read one, just to show them the progression of sanctification quickly.
You might want to write these down, Hebrews 2:11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Notice being.
Yes.
That's
being.
A process.
Yeah, it's a process. It's a verb that starts and keeps going.
Right, okay. Hebrews 10:14, it says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Again, it's a process.
Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in
them. Right, he's talking to Christians, but he's saying Christ isn't totally formed in them yet, spirit, soul, and flesh.
Galatians 5:16 and 17, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not the things that you wish. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
That's right. If you're totally sanctified, your flesh has been crucified. And verse 25 of Galatians 5, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That means get your flesh crucified and have the Spirit man outwardly through all three parts of your
So let us
yourself.
Flesh in the Spirit if we live in the Spirit.
Did John, I say that? Yes.
Yes. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. This is Jesus'
this is
prayer
Jesus
to
saying.
The Father saying, sanctify them by your truth. Your
word is truth. And again, remember, your flesh will fight being in the Word.
Yes, it will.
Until you're totally sanctified. And then you'll start seeing the desires change.
That's
you'll
right.
want to be in the Word. Look forward to it. I can't wait to get home to be in my Word.
And there you go. And you know what? It's very difficult to be holy unless you're totally sanctified, and that means all your armor is on. It's hard to pray.
Amen. We've got to go, John. Let's,
oh.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we will not be here next week. Poor Helen, I'm sorry.
Thanks. We won't be here next week. No shofar assembly tonight has been canceled, unfortunately, but we'll see you in, what, two or three?
We'll be here in 2 weeks.
We'll be back here on the radio in 2 weeks. So if you have questions for Sheila or you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. I've got to spell Sheila for you. It's S-H-E-I. L-A, okay? And this is a listener-supported radio broadcast. If this show is blessing you, it's blessing me. I know it's got to be blessing you. Then your help is really needed to keep this show on the air. So any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations will automatically put you on our monthly newsletter, which is full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days right here in America and in Israel. Why not check out the webpage? There's new newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there, thanks to Lou Buckles, who is a great webmaster, and he's fair price, willing to help you with your own webpage. You can find him at sunfishdesign.com, Sun spelled S-O-N, and a great study for beginners on DVD. It's Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, and now the Spring Feast, available on the webpage as well, shofarministries.net, or just call 440-834-9006. We'd like to leave you with the ironic blessing, Yevrechta Adonai Vayishmaracha, Ya'er Adonai Panav,
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And thank you so much for tuning in today. Until next 2 weeks from now, Sha'alu Shalom, Ya'aru Shalom. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper.
See you in 2 weeks. Goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word.